This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. It is Thursday, the 20th of May, 2021. You're tuned in to 96.9 FM Guardian Talk Radio. That must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And before we get into the show, I have an ad for you from the Ministry of Finance. By registering on mygateway.gov.bs, adult Bahamian citizens residing in the Bahamas can use a computer, mobile phone, or tablet to easily and conveniently request and pay for services, which include birth, marriage, and death certificates, firearm license renewal, police character reference, driver's license, and learner's permit renewals, and e-passport renewals. In addition, government documents request BS may also be collected from a centralized collection location, the post office in the Town Center Mall. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. I am so happy to see the government moving along relatively quickly on its service digitization program. This is awesome. If you, like me, grew up in the days of COB, where you started your semi-adult life by standing on a line at 4:30 in the morning. See, COB prepared you for life in the Bahamas. The most important thing you need to know as an adult in the Bahamas is at some point in your day, you're going to stand on a line. And COB prepared us for that. And so the digitization of these services means that we, the average citizen, spend less time on lines, right? And we can spend more time tending to other things in our lives because the system is designed to save time. It is awesome. Plus, I want to keep standing on line time for fruit season. The only line I trying to stand on is the line to Rasta selling them scarlet plum on the side of the road. That's the only line I want to be on. And I want to say thank you to Rasta, who figured out how to safely and within the confines of the law sell scarlet plum on the road again. So, for my watching audience, if you could see, I have two plums in my hand that I was able to secure on the mean streets of New Providence yesterday. But I want to take this time to show you something, because it's very rarely that I have these two plums in my hand at the same time. And I bet you most of y'all, even though you've eaten at least one of these, and maybe both, not knowing the difference, y'all don't know what these are called. And to be honest with you, I barely know what they're called. So the plum in my left hand is the knobbly plum, and it's scarlet. That's a color, the scarlet plum. That's the one that we're used to. This one is the most popular one. The one in my right hand is the red plum. It's red and it's smooth, unlike the scarlet plum. Now, the red plum is called red Spanish mumbin. Hog plum is yellow Spanish mumbin. A lot of people call red and yellow hog plum and red plum, call them Spanish plum interchangeably. When you travel through the region, I saw the hog plum all over the place, except that we call it hog plum up here because you feed it to the hogs. In St. Croix, they call it September plum. And I imagine that's because it is most prolific or it bears the most in September. These plums are all over the Caribbean. We don't know that because we call them different names. And we're in danger of losing these fruit. First reason, we don't even know what they called. But we're also in danger of losing these fruit because we have this practice. When we purchase land or when we clearing down a lot, we don't go into the lot and do agricultural inventory. We don't go in the lot and take a look of and document what already exists there, right? And for two purposes. First, you may decide to design your house around the trees, right? Now, tree roots could be problematic for a number of reasons, right? Destroying your foundation. But adequate or appropriate tree coverage, right, could help cool. So the first thing you have to decide is, do I want to keep the trees where they are and build around them? But in the alternative, you may decide that this tree is valuable enough to me to uproot it and secure it and replant it somewhere else on the lot or on another piece of property. But we're losing these plums. See, not only do we not know the name, but that's the beginning of it, right? Because the value is something you have to name it. And then you got to keep the name. The people we send in to clear down the lots, they ain't even thinking of trees or fruit or valuable things. All they thinking is tear it out the ground. So I've seen a number of projects, land clearing projects going on in the last couple of months. I even saw one in Baynetown and Grantstown led by Honorable Travis Robinson. It's a good initiative. The cleaning up spaces, derelict spaces, overgrown spaces that could be a security risk in the community. But did they take an inventory of what trees existed there? What trees like to grow in that space? What trees are likely to continue growing in that space and ensuring the fruit. Because see, the thing about these plums is they're difficult to propagate. We're still not certain how to get them to propagate from seed. I think you have to crack the seed somehow. Or I think an animal needs to eat the seed and expel it, right? After eating it, to activate some enzyme in the seed for it to grow. But what we do know is if you get a cutting, you can propagate it. But there's a secret, and I'm gonna tell you all this secret because I have an agenda, and as an old woman, I want to eat fruit every day. I don't have to pay for it. I want to be fruit everywhere. Your cutting must have fruit on it. If you just take a cutting with no fruit, the chances of it propagating or producing fruit when it does are very low. What I know is you got to get a cutting with the fruit on it. So it's plum time now. If you want a tree in the next 2 or 3 years, if you want to eat plum in the future, now is the time to find a tree with some plum on it, get a cutting, and start propagating. You can't eat all the fruit. You got to save some seed for next year. You can't eat all the fruit. You can't cut away all the tree. You got to save something to plant so you'll have fruit in the future. So I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron. Good. I'm a caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing very good morning to your producer. I thought about you last night when my power was off. I was thinking that some people didn't get their mind grow last night.
Say that. Oh, you think that's why, boy... I woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. And when I realized what was going on, I cussed myself for talking about Bannister so harshly yesterday. And I thought it was me. Like, oh, I thought they only turned off my power.
No, they turned off mine.
They turned off yours too, eh?
Yeah, I was thinking about how to get the mind to them, but I had to be a chair, you see.
boy, I don't know.
Okay.
So you think they deserve Mango up there?
I guess so, because you know, maybe the Minister of Agriculture ain't teaching them about the mangroves and the fruit and the hog plum and all those things, which you just talk about.
What I think it is that they're not sufficiently motivated. And these are the types of things that really motivate people.
Yes. Because it motivates me. I thought about it last night. I was motivated.
You ever see a thief try getting somebody yard for scarlet plum?
Not that kind of time.
But they motivated, though.
Yeah. But this kind of time, they would be.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking about, well, I congratulate the people. I think I did it on your show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or maybe one day, planting the trees. But mm-hmm. there. I wonder what kind of trees they were planting. I wonder if they're planting native trees so we can live off.
Well, listen.
In a time of hunger.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, I was watching one documentary before my power went off on plants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some plants you could eat.
Yeah.
Maybe those beautiful plants you see in people's yards, maybe you need to plant some things that could eat. I think the hypericum. The hibiscus, the plant.
The hibiscus.
Yeah, hibiscus, right.
Yeah, yeah. That's
what they call it. They say that could eat.
Yeah, man. Some, I think hibiscus and the sorrel are in the same family, if not the same thing.
We need to promote that, Dan.
Well, look here. Not only do we need to promote it. Thank you for making that note. I got to go after this. But you made this. You made a couple of excellent points.
Before you go, you know, I got a comment. I saw, you know, like the watch. Documentary,
mm-hmm.
and I thought of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
The bill the PM tried to present.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the PM bill, but that is profitable, and the state with the chocolate, the various type of chocolate candy. You saw that?
Yeah. So there is a burgeoning a huge market for high end culinary. Cannabis products, right? Uh-huh. It's a whole culture attached to it.
Yeah.
Right? But they have television shows highlighting high-end chefs preparing meals, high-end meals, right? Including a variety of types of cannabis butters and oils and rubs. And I mean, it's almost as if the entire world has seen that the plant is not as dangerous as we've painted it out to be.
Imagine how many other plants we have that probably can do the same thing, much more greater, including marijuana.
Yeah.
You smell Benny cake?
Yeah. Benny is sesame.
And it's not popular.
Tahini is one of the most expensive products in the shelf in our own country where we celebrate Benny.
Mm-hmm.
Or we
do that. We need to produce it on a candy scale with the marijuana legislation that the good thing the PM trying to get through. Be interesting.
It would be interesting.
And that plan and everything. We have a large market we can go after.
There is a large market,
yeah.
and not just a large market, right? We have three basic spaces to explore cannabis, right?
Oh yeah.
You have the industrial manufacturing space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the medicinal and therapeutic space, right? And then you have the recreational space.
Yeah.
When we look at industrial and manufacturing initiatives, right? We're not just talking about creating an industry here. We could be talking about growing the raw product.
That's right.
We could be talking about processing to a certain degree the raw product. We could be talking about establishing a sustainable hemp and sisal and marine. And we can create a space where we invite people to a yearly or every 2-year festival where people come to present and explore ideas around cannabis, industrial initiatives, and sustainability, right?
You can imagine feeling good on a pink sun.
Absolutely.
And with some nice Benny cake.
Absolutely. But look here, since you say that, you lead me into my second point in the headlines today, right?
Uh-huh.
What is going on with the marijuana bill? But I tell you what, when I saw...
I watched Parliament yesterday. Yeah. Didn't come and so on.
When I saw the statement documented by the Prime Minister yesterday, and I have it on my phone, I want to read it. I don't want to recall it from memory. I want to read it as it was shared by Candia Dames yesterday. I'm just pulling it up. Minister of Health, Renwood Wells, sorry, wrong one, by Eyewitness News, and he had THC on his mind. And I wondered why he said that. If up to this point we have been prepared, they have literally been preparing us for a discussion about creating a medical marijuana regime and possibly an industry, right? And then when I look at today's Guardian on the front page, I see marijuana bill revealed is the main headline. And to the right, it says, bill proposes to legalize 2 ounces of cannabis, right? But when I read into the article, I'm getting the impression that the bill is going to decriminalize possession of up to 2 ounces, which is not the same thing as legalizing possession of up to 2 ounces.
So you want a whole hog?
No, I want clarity.
Oh, you want clarity?
That's what I want.
But I want to make sure a small mind gets nothing, another big pharmacist.
See, but this is it. This is not, see, the second part, this has nothing to do with an industry.
Okay.
Possession.
Well, we want an industry.
And making a distinction between possession with intent to consume personally.
And you mean, and the personal possession means every one individual will be getting high, but we will be making the money.
No, what it means is that you are allowed to possess this for your use.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to possess it for sale.
Right.
Right.
Individual began to put themselves in that.
But that has
break it down to 21/7, and they go to their home and just get high, but they won't be making no money out of it.
Right. But this part has nothing to do with the industry.
Right.
And that's what I want people to sort of get a sense of, right? Because I hear what you're saying. If I'm not allowed to have 2 ounces, right, or more than 2 ounces.
Right.
That is deemed for sale, and thus I can't have it. That's not really what that part of the legislation is about. What we need to focus on is to what extent will the average Bahamian have access to the medical cannabis industry. That's that article on who will be allowed to participate in the industry.
And if it's not an industry, you'll be wasting your time.
Right. But on the second side, what I want to know is, why does the headline say bill proposes to legalize 2 ounces of cannabis when really, and then goes on to say it's proposing to decriminalize possession of up to 2 ounces of cannabis? What I want is clarity, because there's a big difference between legalize and decriminalize.
And they also are now starting to move the sponge. Folks who've been arrested for a joint.
Right. So this is what I want to get into here. This is what concerns me, right?
Right.
Because, first of all, decriminalize does not mean legalize. And let's take let me reference the gaming opinion poll when they asked us if we wanted to regulate web shop gaming.
Right.
Regulate and legalize don't mean the same thing. The same way that decriminalize and legalize don't mean the same thing. Right? If you legalize it, then I don't get a record at all and to supply it, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you have no reason to stop me.
Right.
Decriminalize suggests that you will stop me, right? And possession of up to 2 ounces. And if I have anything up to 2 ounces, you will take it from me and you will give me a fine and I will have a record. It may not be a criminal record, but it's still a record, right? If it's legal, you have no reason to stop me. You have no reason to penalize me. You have no reason to give me a record.
But when you go to travel, you have a problem.
Right. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. That's where I'm getting to.
Oh, yeah. I deal with a legal mind sometimes.
Right. And so what I would like clarity on, and I think Bahamians need clarity on, is this. What is the U.S. Bahamas relationship? What is the discourse? What are the negotiations? What is the sense of you decriminalizing it, only giving me a penalty, but it's still on my record, right? You're only giving me a because the U.S. still regards that new charge as an offense.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then again,
if it was a double D's racket.
But look here, I gotta go, Pumpkin.
Gotta go on W. Talk about that.
No, because I got guests, right? I got some guests coming on, but this is very important because here's the next thing: if I'm only fined with like simple possession, a decriminalized charge, right? And I got this penalty. When I go to find employment, will this be held against me by my employer, right? We got to be very careful how we do this. Because saying that it'll be legalized means that there should be no social stigma attached because it's not a criminal offense anymore. But what if I get this little fixed penalty and I go in to try and get a job now and the people say, hey, I see that on your record. You can't work for me. You're a criminal. You're a dirty herb smoker. Right? That's what concerns me. What we, the people, demand and rhetoric. And we don't want you holding these little carrots over our head, right? Like, oh, the dope smokers, they gonna like this. If I say this, this can get the attention and distract them. That's unfair. It's unnecessary. People are really prepared to sacrifice the idea of decriminalization or legalization of recreational use if they know that the state is focused on creating an industrial and medical cannabis regime that allows Bahamians to engage equally and equitably in these new industries. They will say, it's okay, we're not ready to smoke the weed in public yet. If they knew that they would be able to participate in this new economy that you're attempting to create. Thank you, producer. It's a good time to take a break. Y'all stay tuned to 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. And when we come back, about Cancer Awareness Month, and maybe we'll have a few questions about the viability of medical cannabis for cancer treatments. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. We'll be right back after this break.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Self-quarantine helps to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and keeps our community safe. An individual may be asked to self-quarantine if they had close contact with a person who tested positive for COVID-19. Self-quarantine involves not leaving your home, staying at home in one room by yourself, using a separate bathroom from others in the house, disinfecting, monitoring for changes in your health, answering the phone when the contact tracing team calls, and following instructions given by healthcare professionals. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Talk Radio. You're on the clock with me just now with some good conversation about some important things. Because I could be honest with you, I was going to have a strong word for the Minister of Health, Mr. Renwood Wells, and for the Minister of Works, Mr. Desmond Bannister. The statement that I referenced was actually from the statement that I said that Candia Dames posted yesterday was actually a comment from Renwood Wells about the vaccine. And he said something that just stunned me. He told Parliament that taking the COVID vaccine is the morally right thing to do, as it shows love of God and love of neighbor. And I just want to say to the Minister of Health, no, I mean, that's not really what you're expected to say on a parliamentary stage where you represent a pluralistic nation, where you have people of multiple to the Constitution, and not everybody ascribes to a God at all. Again, this is a poor strategy, and let's not do it again. Let's just think a little bit more about what we're saying before we say it. So when the Prime Minister said yesterday he had THC on the mind, I thought to myself, I bet you something is up, because a lot of y'all sound like you have THC on the mind. And that's not to suggest that people who consume marijuana are silly or stupid, right? Or inherently because of the fact that they consume it. It's just that when you are not sound in yourself and sufficiently matured as an adult and you smoke, you tend to get nervous and say things without really thinking about them, right? That's what it is. That's what it is. It's just, no, I would like you all to pause and use the services of your press liaisons, your press team, to help you prepare yourself to engage the public. Anyway, I've got another ad for you. Let's pause for a financial minute. Did you know? The new Public Finance Act 2021 will focus on improving transparency of public finance and the governance arrangements for public entities. This new law comes into effect July 1st, 2021. This financial minute has been brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, guys, it is Cancer Awareness Month. And my guests today are Duquesa Dean and a group of people, including Dr. Nina Graham. Good morning. Arlington, are they still there? Good morning. Good morning,
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Apologies for the delay. Good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity for us to be with me this morning are Dr. Nina Graham, who is a cervical cancer, I call a specialist, but she is the president of the cervical cancer group. And we have Naomi Taylor, who is representing the Blue Rose Foundation. The Blue Rose Foundation is an organization that caters to adolescents and children with leukemia. And we're here today to advocate, to discuss, and to promote all things related to cancer.
All right. So it is Cancer Awareness Month. Tell us, what activities are still to take place in the month that we can participate in?
Well, this coming Saturday, we would like to appeal to the public to join us at the Marlott Marathon in the arcade near BTC. We are on a proactive drive to support the Princess Margaret Hospital with getting more blood in the blood bank. You know, I think every one of us on this call has received a text message or a WhatsApp message in the past with someone pleading and begging for others to go and donate blood, need of transfusions, and their loved ones are praying for them and supporting them. The very last thing they need is to be running around trying to get people to donate blood. And so we want to proactively help to eliminate that challenge for patients, but also for the blood bank. And so we're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is at the Marlott Marathon in the arcade near BTC. And we're calling on the public to support us and come down and donate blood. One pint of blood can help to save 3 lives. So that's this coming Saturday. Next Saturday, we're also holding an event called Light Your Lantern, which is being led by the cervical cancer group, Dr. Nina Graham. And this event is to pay homage to those who have journeyed and have transitioned on with their fight with cancer, and also those who are in the fight. So essentially what you're doing is you're purchasing a package from us that has a lantern. And at, you know, between 7 and 9, you can either put it in your pool or go to a location and have a private event that we have coming up for the rest of the month. But the entire month, we're focused on bringing information, awareness, and education to the general public by being on radio shows. You know, we're in COVID, so we're restricted in the pandemic and what we can do, but we have been using the radio as a means of sharing information and advocating for early detection and advocating for people to take individual responsibility for their health and get their annual exams.
Wow, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me, what are some common myths about cancer that we need to dispel right away? For example, I hear people say, oh, men can't get breast cancer, but men have breasts too, and they can get breast cancer as well, right?
Absolutely. Dr. Graham?
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, men can get breast cancer.
All right. Are there any other myths that we should be dispelling, talking about, and ensuring that people know that that's not true?
As long as they get a hysterectomy and take out the cervix, then that should be the management of any abnormal pap smear. That's the treatment. Or if they have cancer already, that you can just go and have the surgery and everything is fine. And that's not necessarily true in patients who have cancer, because it depends on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely.
And so if it's very early stage, then you can do a hysterectomy. But if it's more advanced, then a hysterectomy is not going to help. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, you would do your radiation and chemo.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's a myth.
I think another myth that we can, because, you know, Dr. Graham is so specialized in cervical cancer, and I mean, don't take the mammograms annually and were amazed at the results. Some people believe that once they take a mammogram once, they don't need to ever do a mammogram again. And so they're not taking the exam seriously and doing it every year. Other myths are that cancer is not prevalent in young people, or it only targets a certain type or profile of person, which is not true. Cancer has no respect for race. It has no respect for gender. It has no respect for nationality. You can be a male and have breast cancer. You can be a female and have colon cancer. And so there are various kinds of cancer, and anyone can have, can be impacted by any of those cancers. It's not, there are just no conditions. And another myth is, and I love that you are all about agriculture, Erin. There is a myth though, that if we drink bush medicine, that the bush medicine is enough. Mm-hmm. And in some instances, it may be. However, self-treatment is never something that we encourage, of the type of treatment or how aggressive the treatment needs to be, so that you can really make the best educated decision in terms of how you will handle a diagnosis should you get one.
Absolutely. Now, let me, like you said, cancer, women, it is no respecter of gender or race. If a woman could get colon cancer, a man could get breast cancer. But how young is too young to start getting cancer screenings?
Well, from my experience, and I'm going to ask Dr. Graham and Naomi to contribute, because Naomi is from the Blue Rose Foundation and they deal with adolescents. Mm-hmm. You know, I know of children from age 4. Who have had cancer, who've had to have bone marrow replacements, who've been in the fight. Tony Callender runs a cancer organization, Treasures, I think the name of it is. And there are young kids from ages 2 straight up to age 14 who have various forms of cancer. So cancer can strike at any age? Like, what does a normal night's sleep look like? What does a normal day of play like? Like, what is normal? Because once you know what is normal, you then have a benchmark for when you start to see abnormalities, or even doing some research that at a certain age, kids should have this development level, next development level. And if you're seeing that they're having struggles, like, pay attention to that and don't just throw it aside as, oh, they'll grow into it or they're going to catch up. Get a medical opinion on what's happening with your child. So as it relates to children, I would say parents should really just pay attention to what's normal. As it relates to women and men, I would say that those annual exams, we should be adamant to have those annual exams from 18. Mm-hmm. Some of us go to the doctor younger, but from 18, we should be getting those annual exams. When we're young, we eat bad, we eat fast food. Our parents, you know, think that it's okay for us to burn off those calories. We're young, you know, we're going to go out with annual screenings that include our blood pressure, our blood sugar, that includes blood work that can say if your blood count is abnormal. The blood work tells you a lot of information about whether your kidneys are functioning right. In those annual exams, you're also doing your pap smears, which are super important. And Dr. Graham can talk about how a pap smear can give you an indication of whether you need further treatment, because the pap smear is where you know if in the cervix there is a problem. And so you have the pap smear, you have the mammogram, and these are all exams that should happen annually from, I would say, 18 straight up to the day that we die.
Absolutely. And so given that, and given the high incidence of some types of cancers in the Bahamas, should we be lobbying the insurance industry to include a minimal yearly cancer screening as a basic part of any insurance health insurance policy?
This question has come up on Dr. last week to start a conversation about putting a cancer screening package together. I agree that we need to advocate in some way or form. It could be an insurance company. It could be one of the local labs that can actually put a package together. And it could also be a program where we pay $25 every month for a year. And then the next January, because you've already paid it up, you go in that January and you have all your cancer screening kits done. But a program absolutely should be put together so that we could screen for the more known types of cancer. Dr. Graham, what do you think?
In terms of insurances, you mean?
or any program annual screening, would that benefit?
Yeah.
Right.
How do we ensure it's accessible?
It is accessible once you get your annual testing, like stool occult blood for colon, or your mammogram for breast, mm-hmm. your pap smear for cervical cancer. Now, you have to say, though, these are the, I think it's best, it's fair to say, these are the more common screening tests, and I think every office should be offering them, mm-hmm. besides the normal blood pressure and sugar and stuff.
All right. So, like
that. So this is something that is already there. But in terms of, and your prostate exam for the men, mm-hmm. but some of the other cancers and leukemias, they don't necessarily have a screening test per se.
Yes.
Now for a leukemia, you could look at your white blood cell count and see where that is, but that's not a specific screening method that everybody has, that, like, you know, when we do a complete wrong with their cells, let me send them to a specialist or someone that deals with this, an oncologist, a hematologist. Mm-hmm. But the major or the more common cancers are actually screened in your annual. And that's why it's very important for us to have our annuals. And a lot of times, we get so busy and we're doing everything else that we forget to do our annuals. And that's why it's important to, you know, with NHI being there, that because they're making annuals a little more affordable, but you don't necessarily have to go through the public setting, but and it's making your annuals a little more affordable for persons to still have the same screening as someone who just who goes to who has a major insurance and goes to a private doctor.
Absolutely. Guys, we have about 10 minutes left. Now, I sent you a list of questions, but I don't want to hold you to that. I want to ensure that you have an opportunity to share. I did want to ask a question about what types of resources are available in country for people living with or who have survived cancer.
So there are various support groups. You know, the Cancer Society started out many years ago with the Cancer Society in Nassau, and they've branched into, I think there may be about 18 different branches of the Cancer Society. So on different islands as well, there are support groups. I know for sure the Cancer Society is in Eleuthera, as well as the Sisterhood of Survivors, they are in Eleuthera. The Cancer Association at Sister and the Cancer Society are also in Grand Bahama. We have the Cancer Society in Abaco, Exuma, Long Island, like they're all over the place. You have support groups like the Blue Rose Foundation, Tiffany's Treasure, or Treasures, I can't remember the complete name, by Tony Callender. They're for young people, and so families of young people and young people, so that they don't have to journey alone. They are supported. You have Sister, you have the Jenny Dane Caring and Sharing Support Group, and you also have the support group has a different focus, and so it really depends. You may need to be a part of multiple groups. For instance, you may need to go to the Cancer Society to apply for an annual, a one-time lifetime maximum stipend to help you with your treatment, and then you may need to go to Sister to get a port, because they donate ports, and then you may need a group like GD Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for that ongoing every month infusion, motivation, best practices, sharing. So each group brings something different. So I would say there are support groups available. For people in the Family Islands who need to travel to Nassau, again, the Cancer Society is your friend. At the Cancer Society, there's the Cancer Caring Center, where they're able to host people traveling from the Family Islands who are coming for treatment and need some place to stay. So there is that care facility there for them to be able to do that.
Is that the only one?
That is the only one that I'm aware of. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. Yes. Look at this is awesome. So I'm going to ask right now, can people in the audience contact you to get a...
There's no formal directory for all of the support groups, but if you were to Google the type of cancer that you have, so let's just say breast cancer support groups in Nassau, you'll get a list of them come up. But it is all right. Very important that we do have a one directory, Aaron, and someone also asked for that last week. So we have that written down as something that we want to work on to have that information readily available for cancer patients, survivors, and caretakers as well. Mm-hmm. So I can be reached at 802-6012 for that list, or you can also go over to the GD Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group on Facebook, and a list will also be there for you as well.
All right, so I'm an advocate, right? And I can take on the role as an advocate. What types of services do people living with cancer and cancer survivors need to improve their quality of life? And, you know, what types of services do they need from the government, from civil society, and from the business private sector? Do we need more businesses focused on importing and distributing medical supplies? Do we need more easily from their care, from their residential space to their care space? Things like that.
Well, definitely some services are needed in terms of transporting patients. More services are needed for when persons come from the Family Island, a place to stay. I really a hospice here. We don't. I mean, in terms of female cancers, a lot of patients come to the hospital, even though we may suggest to families, you know, that is best for the family, for the patient to be home to die, because a lot of families I guess, can't get used to, you know, seeing their loved one short of breath or whatever. They rush them back to the hospital, and and a lot of the patients die right there in the hospital without family. You know, so, and for all of the cancers, not just, because a lot of corporate Bahamas have been, I mean, everybody knows about breast cancer most of all, out of all the cancers. And so some of the other cancers are not highlighted. Some of the other cancers, a lot of persons don't know what's out there. And the other cancer groups also need support from corporate Bahamas.
Yes.
Now, absolutely.
Go on. I would say my link in the earlier discussion with medicinal cannabis use, right? I think we have a national security issue here, because we have, when people are at the end stage or terminal stage with a disease or an illness, we tend to put them on drugs like morphine and opioids and things that completely remove their ability to communicate with people around them, right? And if this end term on drugs that incapacitate them, right? When possibly medicinal marijuana can provide an alternate pain treatment that allows the patient a bit more clarity and presence, right? At that end stage. And so for me, I'm very interested in how we can use cannabis to provide chronic pain treatment and therapy for people living with cancer, and also people at the end stage or people dying with cancer. Mm-hmm. Are there any groups lobbying specifically for this?
Not that I am aware of.
No.
Actually, when you spoke about it today, as I listened to you talk about it today, I recognized that there has been little conversation regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know personally within our groups and a number of the other groups that I am aware of, that there has not been much discussion for that as an option. But this, you know, opens the door. But quite honestly, no, we have never given it consideration. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people and a lot of young people really want this legislative push to be successful, because they see it as an alternative for their loved ones in end stage care and with chronic pain needs, right? They're really excited about that, and I want to encourage young people at the University of the Bahamas as well to engage this issue and figure out how we can have more conversations about it going forward. But as we're at the end of the show, please, the last word is yours. Share any contact information that you have and anything you think Bahamians need to know about cancer or living with cancer.
Well, I'd like to advocate for everybody to get their annual exams done. Even if you are a cancer survivor, there's always the fear of reoccurrence, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage everyone out there to please get going on with your health. Mm-hmm. I also want to encourage you to watch what you're eating. Food has a direct impact on our health as well. And to support a cancer support group. There are cancer support groups out there, like our group, like the Blue Rose Foundation, like the Cervical Group, like the Cancer Society. They're all out there in the trenches fighting and advocating for cancer patients and survivors. So please support a cancer support group. The easiest way that you can support a cancer patient right now is a financial donation or a donation of your blood. And so as you think about how can I help, what can I do to support the pandemic, the cancer pandemic in our community, how do I make a personal donation? You can do that by donating to any of the cancer support groups. That could be financial donation, that could be a donation of your expertise, your resources, how you can help that support group help other patients, and then of course by giving the donation of your blood. If you're not able to come out on Saturday to the blood drive, the blood bank takes donations every single day, donations of blood. Go and give the gift.
Okay. For me, me being in the cervical cancer area, I just want to admonish all women to do their pap smears and to try and get a diagnosis prior to becoming a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
The Pap smear is the only screening tool and the best screening tool that we have for the cervix. We don't have such good screening tools for uterine cancer or ovarian, but we do for cervix. And to know that if you do your Pap smears, you can detect or precancer cells and you can get treatment prior to it becoming cancer. It's a preventable cancer just by doing the Pap smear for one, and then the HPV vaccine is another way that you can reduce your risk of developing cervix cancer. And also light your lantern. For persons who want tickets, you can contact me at 557-4731. And let's all release a light or light our lantern for our loved ones or persons who are living with cancer here in the Bahamas.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nina Graham and Ms. Duquesa Dean. Thank you so much for sharing with us all of this information on Cancer Awareness Month. Just a last few texts. A texter said, please let the world know that BPL almost destroyed my marriage with turning off the power last night. Also, concern expressed for the crab vendors in Andrus. They are concerned about the timing of this restriction and the implementation of the curfew in Andrus. And I think we've had at least a year to ensure that we could impose a curfew and still permit and allow the people who catch crabs to do that. We've had a whole year to think about it and figure it out. Let's get on it. Please, the people in Nassau want their something. Thank you for joining us, Bahamas, today. Thank you for tuning in for this wonderfully information full show. Thank you guys for joining us, Duquesa Dean and Dr. Nina Graham. I got to go because you know it's Levon Miller's time and Unleashed is up at 11 a.m. Make sure to stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Talk Radio all day. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.